Into Galatians chapter 5, as we study again one of the fruits of the Spirit, or one of the small fruits on the cluster of fruits called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, and once again we begin at verse 16 and read to the end of the chapter to understand what Paul is trying to teach the Galatians. He's talking about a life that is a walk by the Spirit. That is a life that is set upon Jesus Christ. The Spirit's work, our Lord said in the Gospel of John, was to glorify Him, to point men to Him. He said, "He shall glorify me." To walk in the Spirit means that by the strength of God we remember Jesus Christ and live as He would call us to live. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has accomplished so great a salvation for us. We thank you that sinners qualify for his kingdom of grace and truth and light. In singing a song that we have just sung, we remember Jesus Christ, how he endured hardship and persecution and rebuke, suffering, and patiently endured it that we might have eternal life. We think of the ignorance that he endured from his disciples and the misunderstandings of the Pharisees, yet he let nothing deter him from a godly character, a patient spirit, and his purpose to die upon the cross for the guilty. Help us to understand the grace of patience that rested in his heart, that we may understand how to show that grace of patience toward one another. We thank you for being with us this evening as you promised you would, and ask that you would strengthen our faith, that you would make us a Christ-centered people, that each day we would have him upon our heart and mind, before we think, before we speak, before we make our choices, that we may bring honor to the one who has died to bring hope to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit because It takes God's Spirit to produce these things in us. These are not natural characteristics to the human heart. There are some things that we can do according to Scripture to cultivate these fruits upon our vine, but the Holy Spirit, even there, is the one who produces that desire and that strength, that hope to become loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, and so forth. We need to look at the characteristics of the flesh, and as you look at them on chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, you have to ask the question, what would happen to many of these deeds of the flesh if patience replaced them? What would happen to strife and jealousy and outburst of anger and disputes and dissensions and factions and envyings and things like these if patience were the fruit growing on this vine? They would fade away. We've already studied love and joy and peace, and now we come to patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit that we all need. Several years ago, I saw a cartoon in Christianity Today, and I think it sums up many times our attitude toward patience. And it was a man kneeling with his hands folded and his eyes looking up to heaven, and he said, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now." That's impossible. The very word patience means long-suffering. It means it takes a long time. There is time and length, and things happen for patience to come. In America, we want instant everything. We want instant success in our jobs, instant foods where we don't have to cook too long, instant sanctification, instant religion. But patience isn't like that. There are no shortcuts to patience, because God's plan to create the fruit of patience in our hearts requires experience and time. There are circumstances that must be faced. We must respond to those circumstances with faith and trust in God, that patience grows in our hearts. Thomas Manton said, "Patience is the submission of the whole soul to the will of God, who works all things after the counsel of His will." It is submitting our heart to God's purposes in our life and the circumstances that He brings to pass in our life. And as we go through those circumstances with faith and trust in Him, patience becomes a fruit on our vine. There are two ingredients to patience I want us to talk about tonight that are necessary for it to grow in our hearts. The first thing is a right understanding of the character of God. You may be thinking that patience is just something God zaps into us by His Spirit, but that is not the way God grows us. He grows us by truth and understanding and faith in that truth. We must understand the character of God to have patience. And secondly, we have to respond rightly to the circumstances of life that He brings to pass for patience to grow in our hearts. And so those are two things that are necessary for patience to come. Now, there are false kinds of patience, first of all, tonight, and I want to mention a few of them. Sometimes patience is not really patience, but simply insensitivity. Here is a person who comes from a particular family background. Feelings are not easily shown. Voices are not raised. There's a certain stoicism or calmness to this family. It appears to be patient, but is actually hiding behind the cloud of coldness and indifference. This is not patience. Just because a person is quiet and does not blow up does not mean they're patient. Sometimes what is really happening there is an indifferent spirit, an uncaring heart, simply unwilling to be involved significantly in the lives of someone else enough to be upset about anything. That's not patience. That's hardness. And that's not what we're talking about. Sometimes someone appears to be patient simply because they are too proud to lose control of their emotions. They find a certain strength in having a cool head under fire. When things are going difficultly and others are becoming worried and fearful or fretting, this person finds a certain strength remaining in control. Holding on perhaps to authority or leadership position. This is not patience. And sometimes there is a certain attitude that appears to be patient, but is actually a secret desire for revenge. Here is someone who has been wronged. In the moment, they do not respond. They grin and bear it. They say nothing, but they write it down on their list. They said this to me. They did that to me. And the list grows long. And just at the right time, revenge breaks out in a bitter word. At the right time, a reputation is destroyed, and revenge comes out against those who have harmed you. That is not patience. Just being quiet, just not blowing up, being stoic in certain situations, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that is not natural to the human heart. It's something that has to be produced by the work of God in the heart. And that's what we need to talk about now. What is true patience? True patience is rooted, first of all, in a right understanding of the character of God. And we've already mentioned that. We must understand what God is like to understand what patience is. We've already read one passage this afternoon or this evening in 2 Peter 3. And we saw in that passage that mockers come to Christians and say, "Where is the promise of his coming? You believe in Jesus Christ. You say he is coming again. Do you not understand that the world has gone on now like it has always gone on since creation?" And Peter said, "They do not understand that the world was made by his word, that the world was destroyed by his word and by the flood of water, and that the only reason God is letting a world of sin continue at this time is because he is patient. He has compassion on men and women and children lost in their sin, and he is enduring mockers and haters of God and those who rebel against his commandments so that he might show mercy to many." And so he says, count the patience of God to be salvation. God is long-suffering. He suffers long because he is full of compassion and goodness. In Exodus chapter 34, God passed by Moses, and I'd like to read to you a couple of verses, how God describes himself. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it says, "Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. God revealed himself as a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He puts up with a whole lot. He had every right in his justice to destroy the earth the day that Adam and Eve sinned against him, and to wipe the race of man from the face of the earth. But because he is kind and gracious, because he would have the creatures that were made in his image redeemed to see his face as he really is and to fellowship with him eternally, he let the world of sin continue. And then he sent his Son to redeem his people. And he sends his Holy Spirit into all the earth, as he did to Lydia, where the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. He is a gracious God, slow to anger, patient toward you, so that you should regard the patience of God to be salvation. When we are young, we think that we will live forever. It is when we're getting older that we treasure more and more each day. Young people have a hard time understanding why their parents are so urgent about their commitment to Christ, their soul's condition, their need of eternal life. It's because we know, we have lived and we have seen that young people of every age have had their life snuffed out in a moment. We have seen our friends in high school die of brain cancer and tumors. We have seen car wrecks snuff out those we love. And we know that every day that they have lived is a day of God's patience and kindness, calling them to believe, calling them to come to Christ. And yet the pride of youth that most of us have experienced is that I cannot die. I cannot be hurt. I will wait. And another day of God's patience has existed. God is patient, but he's not patient forever. That's what Peter told them. There is a day coming. A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's not slow about his promise to end the world. There will be a day that comes, but while we are alive, while we have opportunity to repent and believe in Jesus Christ and live for one who suffered and died on our behalf, we should regard the patience of the Lord to be salvation and close with Christ now. God is patient. He's full of kindness, and it's an attribute of God. Jesus is like that. When he walked the face of this earth, and you read the Gospels and hear the ignorance of the disciples and the misunderstandings of the Pharisees and the opposition that he had every step of the way, yet the graciousness that was in his heart, how kind he was to all, even when he rebuked them and stood over the hill of Jerusalem to a people who had rejected him as their king and Messiah, he wept, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks, and you would not." Our Lord Jesus Christ has patience as one of his characteristics, as part of his character. It's one of his attributes. And we must understand that. That is what God is like. And he calls us to be like him. True patience is rooted in understanding the character of God. There are certain attributes of God that contribute to his patience. And one of them is his sovereignty. To believe in the sovereignty of God means that we believe Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Patience is revealed in that verse because God puts up with a lot of things for a long time before he causes them to work out for good for his people. He is sovereign in his power, in the way that he rules the universe. We can look at Romans 8:28 and see that afflictions and persecutions and irritations are part of God's plan for the Christian. That he is patient towards sin and the way it works it out in our lives. And then he comes in with his grace and causes those difficult situations to work together for good. He's patient. He puts up with a lot. And he's sovereign in the way he causes all these things to work together for good. But it's not enough just to believe in the sovereignty of God in order to have patience. The Muslims believe in the sovereignty of God, but they do not understand the character of the God who is sovereign. They interpret the sovereignty of God to be fate or destiny. Whatever will be, will be. And there's nothing you can do about it. There is no appeal to the character of a God who has purpose in his fate and destiny. You are just trapped in an all-powerful God who you hope will be merciful. But our concept of God, that he is patient and sovereign, has certain other attributes attached to it. In order for you to have patience each day, you must believe that God is just. God is just. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. When evil comes to your life through the hands of others, if you do not believe God is just, you will lose patience. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." We believe that God is just. Every sin will be brought to justice. So we do not have to bring to justice every sin that is committed against us. Revenge is not something the Christian can hold on to or show. But there is a comfort here. We can be patient in the midst of opposition or evil that comes our way, because we know that God is not only sovereign over all events that happen in our lives, but he is just. We do not have to take revenge, because God will. When we pity our enemies for the revenge of God and the wrath of God which he will bring upon them, patience grows in our hearts. And so he says in verse 20, if your enemy's hungry, feed him, not curse him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head, because God is just. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To To have patience, we must believe God is patient himself, and he is sovereign over all of our lives, and part of that sovereignty is that he's just. Our Lord Jesus Christ thought his Father was just when he was spit upon, when he was cursed, when he was spun around blindfolded and hit with a fist. Heard these words, prophesy, thou Son of God, who hit you? He knew his Father was just. He did not have to wreak revenge. He did not have to call down and did not call down the legion of angels who were at his command. He had patience because his God was just. He had patience, and we're to have patience because God is faithful. When he pledges his faithfulness to his people, to watch over them, to protect them, this means that we know that even when trials come our way, God has a purpose in those trials that should create patience in our hearts in trials. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, Peter was telling a suffering people, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Peter was looking at Christians who would suffer for the faith. And in the midst of suffering, it would be very tempting to become bitter and angry against God who allowed it and men who did it. But the one thing that he appealed to, that suffering would not become bitterness, is a trust in the character of God. That God is faithful. He is a faithful Creator. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of a faithful God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Patience instead of revenge and anger and bitterness against God and man, because we trust that God is faithful. No temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man, and God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to endure, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Why? How do we know? How can we have patience in trial? Because God is faithful. And to the degree that you believe God is faithful, to that degree patience will arise in your heart. Another characteristic that must be attached to God's sovereignty over our lives is God's mercy. We must believe that God is merciful. After the people of Israel were returned from Babylon and settled once again in the promised land, they said, "Our God has requited us less than our iniquities deserve." They were taken into captivity. They suffered for 70 years under Babylon's rule, harsh rule. Generations died that would never see the hill of Jerusalem or the temple of God again. They were returned to the promised land. They went through great hardship to rebuild the land and to rebuild the temple. They fought within themselves. They fought the enemies outside of themselves. It was a day of hardship. But their conclusion was that God had not rewarded them according to what their iniquities deserved. He had been patient, merciful, kind to them. We also must believe in the goodness of God. It is not enough to believe in God's sovereignty and somehow we know that God is over everything, and that gives us patience. We must believe in God's goodness as He plans our lives, that He has a purpose that ends in our good and His glory in everything that happens to us. David prayed in Psalm 119, "It was good that I was afflicted, that I may keep thy law. Thou art good and doest good." David could look at his afflictions, the betrayals of his own children, the sufferings and ridicules that he endured from the people of God. And believing in the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God in His purposes for the things that were ordained in his life, he could say, "Thou art good and doest good. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may keep thy law." We must believe in the sovereignty of God, but it must be attached to His mercy, to His faithfulness, to His goodness, for us to have patience. If we do not have a full understanding of the character of God, then we will succumb to what Sanderson says about it. Impatience is practical atheism. In those moments where we lose our patience, we've lost trust in our God. We've lost belief in His goodness and mercy, or His sovereignty for all. And anger and bitterness and grudges and revenge come forth because our hearts have refused to believe all that the Scripture tells us what our God is like. Patience has to believe in the character of God. The second thing that is necessary to have patience is to respond rightly to the circumstances of life that our God brings. There are many occasions of temptation to impatience. Everyone who is married knows this. Everyone who has ever had a child knows this. Everyone who has ever been a church member knows this. There are many occasions of temptation to be impatient. One of those occasions is when we are suffering mistreatment from others. It is out of our control. We can do nothing about it. We cannot fix it. We cannot improve it, and we cannot change it. It may be a religious joke. It may be a malicious attack on our character. It may be at home. It may be at school or the office. How is the Christian to respond? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We must have a right response to the circumstances of life because we have a right understanding of the character of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, we have an example of patience. Patience that believed in the character of God and responded correctly to the mistreatment of others. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle, through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of patience, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. They needed to be patient. Remember what they did before, how they responded to sufferings and afflictions. They trusted that God had a purpose in their affliction, that they were suffering for righteousness' sake. And even when their property was seized, instead of growing bitter toward their enemies and bitter toward God because he had planned a different kind of life than they thought they would have in being his children, they remembered the gospel. I have a better possession. I have an abiding one. There is a place being prepared for me. And so by faith, they believed in the character of God, the sovereignty of God, and the blessings of God that he brings upon every one of his children. And instead of responding with venom and bitterness against God and man, they accepted joyfully the seizure of their property, knowing that they had a better possession and an abiding one. And he wanted them to remember that. They have need of patience. They need to keep living that way, trusting in this God who is sovereign and good and permits even his own children to suffer for his name's sake. Patience grows in those situations. Patience grows when we respond to provocations, secondly. Ordinary provocations, these things happen in the home between parents and children, husbands and wives. They happen at work between employer and supervisor and employee, teachers and students, church members. Instances of provocation where anger, rights violated, seem to arise. And sometimes that provocation issues forth not into patient endurance and gracious love and forgiveness, but into outbursts of anger and critical spirits and gossip designed to ruin the reputation of those who have harmed us. When confronted with a bitter spirit or an angry countenance, one may say, well, that's just the way I am. I've always been that way. It's part of my family. God says that we cannot live that way as believers. What do you do when you've been wronged? How do you respond with patience when there's really been rights violated? Matthew chapter 18 tells us how. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, our Lord told a parable. Part of patience is forgiveness. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him $10 million. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell down and began to treat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" His Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. God expects us to be as patient, as merciful, and forgiving toward everyone who wrongs us as he has been toward us who have wronged him. As we studied this passage months ago, we found that there is no one who has ever sinned against you like you have sinned against God. And if God has forgiven you of this mountain of debt, then you are required by the grace and mercy of the gospel of Christ to forgive the smaller debt of your enemies. Patience means having a forgiving heart. It means that the grace of God and the cross of Christ have finally taken effect, so that we no longer strike back, strike out with venom and revenge against those who have harmed us, but rather with patience and kindness, with mercy, we easily and quickly forgive as we have been forgiven. So that patience becomes a characteristic of our heart and life, like it is in the very heart of God Himself. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. There are many other things we could say about patience that I'll pass over tonight. We must tolerate shortcomings, the faults and failures of others. Quit taking everything so personally, like it's a personal attack upon you. Every time someone sins against you, they sin against God. That's the bigger sin. We're called to pity our enemies. Our enemy is thirsty, give him to drink. They're hungry, feed them, because they stand in the wrath of God. Many irritations come in the personal life of the Christian. People who break appointments without telling us, which is really bearing false witness. Inconsiderate habits. Table manners that irritate us. characteristics like wiping their mouth, flicking their ear, tapping on the table, and anger wells up in our hearts. Have you ever considered how much God puts up with from us? We must look into the face of God and see what He is like. We must believe in the power of God to ordain and plan our lives. And we must believe that every time He plans every event and every person that crosses our path, He is just, He is merciful, He is wise, and He is good. The life of faith lived in trusting such a God finds patience toward men growing on its vine. And then there's always the problem where we become impatient with God. We think He's being unfair, too long, giving us more than we can bear. He could do it differently. Why doesn't He? Does He not care for my soul? Every day, the Christian is called to look full face into the Scriptures and see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. It is at the point of the crucifixion, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that it all comes together. The patience of God in His character, the sovereignty of God in all His works, where godless men cruelly crucified the Son of God according to the predestined plan of God, where the justice of God is accomplished that we might be justly forgiven, where the mercy of God is revealed that we might have God's forgiveness and kindness, and where the goodness of God is displayed in full measure for any of us who doubt His goodness in the events that occur to us daily. Patience is something that can grow only when we look fully in the face of Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. And as we grow in faith, grow in trust of this God who is patient, we become more patient. What the problem is, you need to remind yourself of the character of God. You need to remind yourself of the cross of Christ. You need to be refreshed in the goodness of God that is always tied to His sovereign power in every act He's ordained to your life, and respond with faith and patience instead of fear and anger. It doesn't matter whether it's your child or your spouse or your co-worker or your fellow church member or your enemy. Patience must grow on your vine. Let us pray.